So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here. Welcome back to the show. Glad to have you back for another episode. And, of course, this being the first show of the month is, of course, White History. Now, there's Black History Month, and there's This History Month, and That History Month. But every month here on the Tommy Freedom Show is White History Month. I just go over important things that whites have done to contribute to society. Now, before I get into that, though, I want to kind of do a little update here. We did have a death over the past weekend. So, George, if you want to go ahead and get ready to play your recorder, go ahead. Okay, so that, of course, indicates some sort of special announcement or an entire show special. In this case, it is just going to be a news brief, although this did happen a couple of days ago, and you are very well aware of this. I am going to share it with you anyway, because it's been a long time in coming. Okay, so it wasn't Hillary Clinton or even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like we were probably hoping, but George Herbert Walker Bush, the Klan leader, Big Daddy Bush, Mr. Read My Lisp, No New Tactics, the leader of the New World Order movement, and the former head of the CIA, is no longer with us. That man inflicted so much harm to this country over the years, folks. We have no clue what he actually knew, what he was hiding. I believe he knows, or he knew, who killed Kennedy. If there is anything going on in Area 51 that is not of this world, I'm sure that man was fully aware of it. Completely evil person, and he is now gone. So, I suppose that's good for White History. So, well, I guess we'll start out White History Month with the death of George Herbert Walker Bush. So now let me get into the actual White History Month. As I indicated, every month here, in case you're new, every month here is White History Month. And I let everyone know about the accomplishments and achievements made by white people. My friend Mike in New York is always kind enough to send those to me at the end of each month to come up for the next month, and so I thank him for sending this batch as well. Do you have those, George? Yes, let me see it, please. So in the words of Jim Carrey, alrighty then. On December the 4th in 1619, not too terribly long before Plymouth, 38 English settlers arrived at Berkeley Hundred, which is 20 miles from Jamestown, Virginia. The group's charter required that the day of arrival be observed yearly as a day of thanksgiving to God, and this is considered to be the first Thanksgiving celebration in America. In addition to having celebrated Thanksgiving in December, other months this holiday has been celebrated on or in have been June, September, October, and November. On December the 7th in 1888, Scottish inventor John Boyd Dunlop received a patent for the first practical inflatable tire, which he used on his son's tricycle. So evidently that is where Dunlop Tires was founded. On December the 8th in 1861, the CSS Sumter seized the northern merchant ship Eben Dodge in the mid-Atlantic. On December the 10th in 1868, the world's first traffic lights were installed outside the British Houses of Parliament. The work was done by the railway engineer J.P. Knight. The device was a revolving gas-powered lantern with a red and a green light. Now, I know that was taken from ships and later on used in the railroads as well, but when they made traffic lights, since you have red and yellow, which are primary colors, green really should have been blue. Just an observation. On December the 10th, 1974, the Federal Republic of Germany, which is now West Germany, launched the Helios 1 space probe with help from NASA. It is notable for having set a maximum speed record among spacecraft at 157,000 miles per hour. That's about 43.5 miles a second, folks. Wow. That is amazing. On December 12th in 1862, the USS Cairo, an ironclad gunboat of the city class, was sunk in the Yazoo River by a remotely detonated Confederate torpedo, what naval mines were called back then. The Cairo became the first ship ever sunk by a remote control mine. December the 16th, 1770, German composer Ludwig van Beethoven was born in Bonn, Germany. December the 18th, 1856, British physicist Sir Joseph John J.J. Thomson was born in Manchester, England. He is credited with the discovery of the electron and of isotopes, and with the invention of the mass spectrometer. December 18, 1890, American electrical engineer Edward Armstrong was born in New York and was the inventor of FM radio. December 18, 1898, a lot of December 18s here in history that are noticeable. French race car driver Gaston de Chazelot-Lebas set the first automobile land speed record using a Gentle electric car. He completed a single... A single 3,280-foot run in 57 seconds to give an average speed of 63.13 kilometers an hour. In English, that's 39 miles per hour. December the 19th, 1154, Henry II was crowned King of England at Westminster Abbey. December 20th, 1860, South Carolina adopted an ordinance of secession. December 22, 1790, Russian Army commander Alexander Suvorov stormed the fortress of Izmail in Izmail, Ukraine, thus liberating Ukraine from 400 years of Ottoman rule. Now who's going to liberate the Ukrainians from Russia? The victory was glorified in Russia's first national anthem, "Let the Thunder of Victory Sound." December 25th, the year 336, the first recorded date of Christmas being celebrated on December 25th was in 336, during the time of the Roman Emperor Constantine, and he was the first Christian Roman Emperor. A few years later, Pope Julius I officially declared that the birth of Jesus would be celebrated on the 25th of December. December 26th, 1791, Charles Babbage was born. Now, Charles Babbage was a British mathematician who invented the analytical engine starting in 1833 and continued to work on this analytical engine until his death in 1871. Now, this is the first computer resembling today's modern machines. That's amazing. I know a lot of the old equipment originally ran using a punch card system. And basically, it was binary code. I'm not sure if that's what we have in play here, but it would be interesting to find out. On December the 29th in 1766, Scottish chemist Charles McIntosh was born in Glasgow, Scotland. He is the inventor of rubberized waterproof clothing, hence the McIntosh raincoat. December 20th, 1888, pioneering astrophotographer Isaac Roberts took the first detailed picture of another galaxy. It was the Great Nebula of Andromeda, which is of course, I believe, our closest neighboring galaxy. The photo revealed that the nebula had a spiral structure, which was unexpected at the time. Interesting. Not a whole lot of stuff for the month of December, but some interesting things nonetheless. So thank you, Brother Mike, up in New York, for sending those along to me. Certainly do appreciate that. And I'm sure a lot of the listening audience likes hearing about white contributions, since we have black contributions shoved down our throats almost every day, and they are non-existent for the most part. You know, there was an episode of Jenny Jones many, many years ago where they had a Klansman on the show, and she said, "Did you know that the artificial heart was invented by a black man? What if you need an artificial heart? Would you not take it because it was invented by a black man?" Well, that's asinine, because the artificial heart was invented by a guy named Jarvik, who was either white or Jewish, but he sure as hell was not black. You know, these people just reach in, and pardon my language here, they just pull the stuff out their ass. It sounds good at the time. People really don't take the time to discredit them, and if they try, where's it going to get you? It's like dealing with the fake media, the fake news. It's just going to get you nowhere. So they make these things up as they go along, as we're seeing more and more now. And it has completely changed the way that we interpret and accept news. And in fact, I'm going to go over, let's see. Yeah, I got time before the break. I found an article here. I want to go over something. I think I've still got it up. About the State Department announcing that fake news is actually destroying Western civilization. So let me see if I can find that for you. And I'll just waste valuable time while I'm... Okay, here it is. All right. Okay, this is titled, "Fake News Could Destroy Western Society, State Department Official Warns." Now, apparently a high-ranking State Department official has offered a stark warning about the potential of computational warfare to destroy the Enlightenment order that has governed Western society for more than 200 years. And he called for an Enlightenment 2.0, one that would bring the ideals of the original Enlightenment, reason, civil discourse, humanism, to the digital sphere. "We don't need to say that this is a death of the Enlightenment. We need to create Enlightenment 2.0, said the official Matt B. Chesson, who serves as acting deputy science and technology advisor to the Secretary of State. He has been at the State Department for more than a decade with postings in Baghdad and Kabul, and he is also a science fiction novelist with vivid ideas about the future of humanity and technology." Kind of sounds like me, has the ability to look at current political climes and project what might happen. Let me just scroll through here. He went on to say that the possibility of a post-truth world is actually directly undermining the Enlightenment ideals of a search for truth and reason. "The advent of such a world in which intentionally misleading news stories jostle with truth would benefit adversaries of the United States. They want to see this post-truth world, because in that world, a fact is whatever you can convince people of." And that is exactly what we have been seeing more and more recently, folks. You know, it used to be, oh, if you read it in a book, it was true. Now it's, oh, it was on the internet, it must be true. And it's just not. Now, let's see. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is a former Republican congressman from Kansas, who supported Donald Trump during his 2016 presidential campaign, has not evinced much anxiety about disinformation. As director of the Central Intelligence Agency, he has sometimes downplayed the extent to which Russian information warfare played a role in the 2000 election. Well, we still have to see what's been going on with that. We'll learn soon enough. But Rudy Giuliani offered up what may actually become the motto of this post-truth world. Truth isn't truth, he said during an August appearance on Meet the Press. And that's very simple but well stated. Truth isn't truth. You cannot believe the truth anymore. And the whole idea of these people is to do that. As they make things up, their facts become your facts because people hear it. Oh, this happened. That happened. That's the way it was. Even if you learn that the exact opposite is true, most people are really going to take the time to learn from that. They're still going to believe the original lie. Now, it goes on to say here that in the recent months, it has been made clear that technology giants like Google, Facebook, and Twitter have enabled the dissemination of purposefully deceptive news, frequently serving as unwitting participants in the information war that's being waged on the Western establishment. But in a response to a question from Yahoo News, Cheston said it was too soon to hold hearings similar to those that brought the nation's top cigarette executives to Capitol Hill back in 1994. Their deception ultimately led to the unraveling of Big Tobacco. Now, Cheston, who once worked for the technology company Razorfish, never heard of it, said that companies like Facebook and Twitter lack the malicious intent of nicotine purveyors. Yes, but something needs to be done to reel this in. Now, he did suggest the federal government may need to create a new institution that would treat social media companies, now here's where it gets dicey, folks, like a public utility with a civic function. He also expressed some admiration for Europe's new general data protection regulation, which gives internet users more control over their data. California has a similar law, but Silicon Valley has resisted a push for greater regulation. Now, calling for a national conversation on technology issues, Cheston said that maybe Congress needs to convene a commission on data privacy, information security, and disinformation. Now, that's where I tend to get concerned. Now, I'm going to leave the article for now and finish up before the break just what's on my own mind here. That, to me, sounds an awful lot like regulating what you may or may not post on the internet. And that sounds an awful lot like censorship to me. The simplest solution here, folks, is not to censor our speech because that goes against the very First Amendment. Yes, this needs to be reined in, but in a totally different way. It needs to be done within the letter of the law. And that is that every story that is originally reported must be verifiable. No unnamed sources. All sources must be named and readily identified so that they can be held accountable if they are making this stuff up. I gotta take a break here. This went a little bit longer than I intended it to. Be back in a couple of minutes, folks.
Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show. And only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Join Georgetown law professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Got a little less than 10 minutes here, folks, and I want to talk to you about something. This is December, so I want to talk to you a little bit about Christmas. I want to tell you a story that you probably have never heard of. Now, Mike in New York sent me some YouTube links the other day for some Christmas carols. One of them was O Tannenbaum. And it was, of course, sung in German, and the subtitles were in German and in English, so that you could understand what the English words were for this song. But in the background, and when I say the background, I mean the visual background, there was video of German soldiers and American or Allied soldiers having some sort of an interaction, and I don't know what that video was taken from. It was a recreation of some sort, a movie or something for the History Channel, I don't know. But I instantly recognized it. What this was a reference to was called the Christmas Truce of 1914. This was about 6 to 8 months into the First World War. And to think about this, folks, that's 104 years ago. This Christmas, this happened 104 years ago. World War I ended in what? 1918? That's 100 years ago, folks. It boggles the mind. I was born in 1968, a little over two decades after the end of the Second World War, a decade after Korea. And to look at this now and realize that it has been a century since the first war to end all wars occurred. But that aside, the Christmas Truce of 1914 is a very interesting story. It's something that has not happened since, because war, believe it or not, like everything else, has become politically correct. But for a few days on the battlefield during the First World War, the Germans and the British decided to tell those who were in charge to go screw off for a couple of days because they were going to celebrate Christmas. Now let me tell you the story. During World War I, on and around Christmas Day of 1914, the sounds of rifles firing and shells exploding faded in a number of places along this Western Front in favor of holiday celebrations in the trenches and gestures of goodwill between enemies. Now, folks, you probably didn't know this, but on December the 7th, 1914, Pope Benedict XV suggested a temporary hiatus of the war for the celebration of Christmas. The warring countries refused to create any official ceasefire. But on Christmas, the soldiers in the trenches declared their own unofficial truce. You see, starting on Christmas Eve, many German and British troops sang Christmas carols to each other across the lines. And at certain points, the Allied soldiers even heard brass bands joining the Germans in their joyous singing. At the first light of dawn on Christmas Day, some German soldiers emerged from their trenches and approached the Allied lines across no man's land, calling out Merry Christmas in English, their enemy's native tongue. Now, at first, the Allied soldiers feared it was a trick, but seeing the Germans were unarmed, they climbed out of their trenches and shook hands with the enemy soldiers. The men exchanged presents of cigarettes and plum puddings and sang Christmas carols and other songs. There was even a documented case of soldiers from opposing sides playing a good-natured game of soccer. Some soldiers used the short-lived ceasefire for a more somber task, the retrieval of the bodies of fellow combatants who had fallen within the no-man's land between the lines. The so-called Christmas Truce of 1914 came only 5 months after the outbreak of war in Europe and was one of the last examples of the outdated notion of chivalry between enemies in warfare. Imagine chivalry in a time of war. What a concept. Sadly, it was never repeated because future attempts at holiday ceasefires were instantly quashed by officers' threats of disciplinary action. But it served as a heartening proof, however brief, that beneath the brutal clash of weapons, the soldiers' essential humanity endured. During the First World War, the soldiers on the Western Front did not expect to celebrate on the battlefield, but even a world war could not destroy the Christmas spirit. Amen. Now, a little bit earlier, I mentioned that this went against the political correctness of war. And yes, war has become politically correct. The reason this was never allowed to occur again is because these men realized the war that they were fighting was not amongst themselves. It was between their leaders, and they were nothing but cannon fodder. And they became friends. I've heard stories beyond this where they actually stayed in touch. They exchanged information. They became friends. And the problem was that they were becoming friends. And they were finally, I think after 3 days, ordered to go back to fighting if they did not, that they would be charged with treason and aiding and abetting the enemy. And all that goes to show you, folks, is that most of the wars on this planet, plug your ears if there are children, most of the wars on this planet are BS. They're fought for the wrong reasons. And in the First and Second World Wars, how many good white men died on both sides. For what? We'll never know. But for one brief moment, 114 years ago this Christmas, there were people from both sides, both Germans and British, who said, "The hell with you who have sent us here to war to kill each other and to die for no reason. We are taking the day off and we are celebrating Christmas." So the next time you hear the song O Tannenbaum, just remember the time the Germans and Britons sang it together. And on that note, I shall conclude this episode of Freedom Rings. Hope you guys are in the Christmas spirit, as am I. I put my Christmas tree up this past weekend. Typically, I put it up on Thanksgiving night, but got a little bit delayed this year, so I put it up this past weekend. Always a joy to see the Christmas tree go up. I love it. Till next week, my friends. This has been Tommy Freedom, and as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at tommyfreedomrings@yahoo.com. If you have a request, if you have some information, if you have an event coming up and you just need to let everyone else know about it, feel free to contact me, all right? Until next week, my friends, it's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.